King Indra wondered how Vritrasura could have been elevated to the position of an exalted devotee. As for Prahlad Maharaj, he was initiated by Narad Muni, and therefore it was possible for him to become a great devotee, although he was born in a family of demons. For Vritrasura, however, Indra struck with wonder that Vritrasura was such an exalted devotee that he could fix his mind without deviation upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, Vasudeva. So this point here is a very essential point in the shloka, I mean in this whole run of verses, this whole story, is that only by the grace of the devotee does one get the mercy of the Lord. And by serving the servant of the Lord, then one gets the mercy of the Lord. So then we see that Indra is very amazed here. How it is that Vritrasura, because he sees a very elevated devotee, it's not that, okay, he read some book, he's trying to impress Indra, you know, just to give him some problem, so it will throw him off, so he'll be more bewildered in fighting. Right? It's one of the techniques, is that you say whatever the other person would say, but you say it with your own angle. That's one of the techniques of argument. You just talk on their subject, like that. But you twist it around to your advantage. But Indra sees he's not doing this. He's not like the other demons who may say something. Like we saw that Hiranyakashipu, he is also speaking philosophy very, very nicely. We're not this body. Everything's going on by the will of the Supreme. There's a whole, so many verses. It's not just one or two. Many, many verses where he describes very clearly the philosophy. But we see that there he was using it to his own advantage. Family members were feeling very distressed at the loss of the family. So he didn't want him to feel like that. It spoils the atmosphere. Right? Demons don't like any bad atmosphere. So then he just used the philosophy to get his point that no one should be disturbed in the family. It should be a nice atmosphere. Because we see that it was only demons using this philosophy, because in the very next verse, as soon as they're all peaceful, immediately he goes out to revenge his brother's death, and who is this, and why Vasudeva is doing it. After he said he's independent, he does everything how he likes, and nothing can move without him sanctioning it. He said all that, so that includes himself. But we see he doesn't include himself, right? That's for everybody else, right? He's a demon, so that's another thing. Highest people, then they're controlled by the Supreme Lord, you know, but or those in ignorance, but he is totally in passion, so he doesn't have to worry about these things. But we can see here, Indra now is hearing the Lord, Vritasura speak here, and he is speaking from the platform of realization, that he's speaking about devotional service in such a very elevated fashion, very, very elevated fashion. So many very important points are brought out in his speaking, and why this story is so important that it's included in the Srimad Bhagavatam. One is this point here, is how is it that this demon has become a devotee? He doesn't see, he just came out of the fire and immediately attacks Indra. So, where was the, Krishna consciousness? Where was the element injected? You know, his father was upset. So therefore, Vashta was doing a yajna with the only intent to kill Indra. So where's the connection? Vlad Maharaj is a demon, but he heard from Narad Muni in the womb. Okay, so he heard Siksha. So we understand that connection was there. He was initiated by the Lord. And we see Bali Maharaj, he also gained the mercy of the Lord. So, but how did this demon, we can't see. So this will come up, that the next chapter is actually where Prikit Maharaj will ask. He also asks, well, how is it possible? Right? We've seen the philosophy is, you only become a devotee by the mercy of a devotee. So how is it he's become a devotee? Because up to now, all we know is he's a demon that came out of the fire. We do not know he's Chitrakheti. So that will come up to explain. So this is one of the main points, is without the mercy of the devotee, one does not become a devotee. We see, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he is a devotee, that he has spread this mission, he has preached all over the world, he has established a worldwide mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and by his mercy, then we are all coming to Krishna consciousness. So through his mercy, through the mercy of the devotees who accept his mercy, then we see that we are coming to Krishna consciousness. So it's obvious how it's being connected. But here, Vritasura, it's not seen. Indra can't understand. So he is a devotee. This is very important also to understand. Indra is a devotee. And in this, he knows the philosophy, all this. Though he has a tendency, being a neophyte, to forget the philosophy. He gets overwhelmed by his senses. He gets overwhelmed by his passions. And therefore, he does all kinds of things. But when he's faced with the philosophy, then he accepts it. And any devotee may do so many things, but you say the philosophy, and they say, yes. You know, so this is good. Right? This is the mark of the surah, is that they may do so many crazy things, but when you present them with the philosophy, they accept it. It is less good that you're presented with a philosophy. You say, yeah, I know all that. Now what about, the reality of the world? No, reality of the world is this. The Lord is there. Right? This is brought up very much by Prabhupada in the previous verse of the report, where Vritasura is explaining to Indra that one is a fool if he thinks that due to my previous karma, then I received certain mother and father. And by that mother and father, I am born. I have a particular body. And then by other elements, then I will lead this body. Right? Due to my karma, this is all happening. Right? So now if we hear this, we'll say, yes, this is our philosophy. But then why is it Vritasura saying, this person who thinks like this is a fool? Right? So then Prabhupada explains the exact same thing in the purport, saying that the devotee understands that due to his karma, that he has been placed in a particular womb, and that therefore, this body is coming and going. But Prabhupada makes the difference that if you just see this is the end, that's your conclusion, this is karma mimamsa. I do my work, I get my result, bas. Right? The karma is the cause of everything. But Prabhupada points out in this purport that the devotee understands that it's the Supreme Lord who is the controller of everything. He is in charge of material nature. So all the gunas that happen, everything that's going on is by the Lord's mercy. He's in control. So when one understands that, then it makes sense that, okay, he's in control, he sanctioned this due to my material proclivities, then I have been directed to the modes of nature to act in this way. Therefore, I've done this karma. Therefore, I've been born in this family. Therefore, I will die in this way. So the whole activity of karma is there, but behind that's the Lord. So if you only see the karma, it's not enough. Therefore, we see sometimes that the devotees will say, oh, it's just your karma, Prabhu, but no one's satisfied. Right? Because, okay, it may be a karma, but why is that there? Right? Just saying, it's your karma, Prabhu, it's not enough. Because this is just karma mimamsa. So that's all right to use as an argument. Because we may use lower, like we use nyaya, which is even lower than karma mimamsa, or vaisheshika, to establish a point. You give a low point in philosophy, you break it with a low point, right? You don't, like someone comes with a rock to throw at you, you don't get out a howitzer and, you know, shoot them, you know, like this. You just, whatever they give, you give something a little bit stronger than that. You don't waste. So lower philosophies may be used, but if it stops there, this is a problem. So the Supreme Lord must be brought in as the conclusion. Then it becomes siddhanta. Otherwise, it's just argument. Saying that, you know, someone says, oh, this happened, that happened, what's your karma, Prabhu? Then this is just argument, tarka. But tarka only has perfection when it's connected to the Lord. So here, Ritrasura points out that you're a fool if you just think like this. Elevated position than what Indra is on at the point. He has thrown his trident. Indra has destroyed it very easily. He's supposed to get faith. Ritrasura has tried to inspire Indra to kill him with the weapon. But he doesn't have faith in the weapon. Doesn't have faith that the Lord's plan is there. So he's trying to inspire him through the philosophy to do his duty. Indra's not doing his duty. Right? He's not properly situated. So then Indra only understands, you know, you have big monstrous demon in front of you, and he throws a very dangerous trident at you. So then immediately Indra takes the Rajra, the thunderbolt, and easily defeats the weapon and cuts off his arm simultaneously. Right? He doesn't defeat one and then have his other move. He does both at once. This is considered more elevated or refined aspects of fighting. So then he's not exactly like that. Something like that. So then he did this, but then after doing this, then Ritrasura just comes in with the other arm, picks up an iron club and comes over and hits Indra on the chin. Right? And hits his elephant. So hits him on the chin, hits his elephant. And then Indra is so surprised, because he would think, you cut off the guy's arm, you destroyed his weapon, that he would be at least for a moment, you know, stunned, and then you'd have that moment of happiness, pride, yes, now I have done something. Immediately he just picks up his weapon and just hits him. So he's stunned and he drops his weapon. So then when he drops his weapon, he's ashamed to pick it up because he thinks, I'm such a great fighter, I'm Indra, I dropped my weapon. Right? And so he's thinking that I have done this. I have destroyed his trident, I have cut off his arm, and I have dropped the weapon. But Ritrasura points out, no, we're not the doer. We're not the ones who are doing any of this. It's the Lord who's doing. So victory, defeat, it's all happening by the Lord. It's all his pastime. He is just running things through. The modes of nature are going on. He and his yoga nidra, all the activities of the material world are happening. It just is, he is just thinking and dreaming. Everything's going on. And we, because we're foolish, we identify with it and we think, this is me. This is my identity. But this identity, this situation, has been tasted unlimited times by unlimited living entities in the unlimited space of the material world. That being born in a particular family, particular situation, it is controlled by a particular mode of nature. It has happened before. Right? It is not something new and unique. It is the same old thing, right? Just like you go to your favorite restaurant, you get your preparation that you like, that cook, that you go once in a while, so you think, the cook is cooking the same preparation hundreds of times a day, day in, day out, there's no difference. But we think it's very unique because I've ordered it, right? I went in, I ordered it, and also therefore it's special. Okay, so we're in the body, we're in the situation, we're born in a particular country, particular place, particular family, particular body, than that. So we think this is us, it's unique. But it's the same old thing. It's been happened again and again and again and again. There's every chance that we've already been through that before. We did it, went to hell, come back into that same body, see, okay, now what we do? You know, you're going to go to hell again, and you're going to, like this. So nothing special. So it's going on. The Lord is just learning, but we identify with it, and because we identify, we got carried away with it. We move with it. And then we experience the happiness and distress and pains and pleasures of that movement. But Vritrasura is pointing out, no, it's our business. We should do our duty. That is our business. So as the modes move, we have our duties to do in those modes. We do those duties, but we do it for Krishna. And we're just an observer. We watch what happens. And we know that whatever's going on is due to our previous activities, the prarabdha karma previous. That's what's happening, right? That's what's going on. Like, we find ourselves, you know, in some sick condition, or that's just previous activities. So there's no need for us to become disturbed by it. We just do our service, remembering Krishna, doing the best we can. We just go on like that. We don't have to worry like that. Even the mind is thinking all kinds of nasty things and doesn't want to think of Krishna. We just observe that. It's not us, the mind. Okay, that's due to my previous sinful activities. I've gotten received a mind like this in this lifetime. But it's nothing to do with me. Myself, my consciousness, is something different. So we can watch this go by. We don't become attached to it. We don't become enamored by it. We just, it's the matter of fact. It's the way it is. So this body, this mind, the intelligence, it's just the way it is. So we accept it. That's it. But my business is to remember Krishna. My business is to serve Krishna with whatever the situation. So then this goes on. So victory or defeat, that is up to the Lord. So this whole concept of just doing the duty, even though you know that the result may not be so good. Right? Arjuna is acting on the battlefield. His whole disturbance in the beginning of the battle was as all his family members are going to be killed. And there he is going to be sit. There he is going to be sitting on the, you know, the top of the emperor of the world with, you know, no friends or relatives surrounding him, right? That's the whole thing. His position is to be shared and enjoyed with family, friends, and relatives, and, you know, other people who will appreciate it, right? I mean, it's no use. Like, you have somebody, he's got something, and he's explaining to someone, oh yes, I just got this latest, you know, thing, or this or that. And the person, so what's the big, you're not satisfied. He doesn't understand the significance of this, you know. So he just says uneducated or uncultured or something and walk off and find a try someone else who is educated and cultured enough to appreciate our greatness, you know, our possessions or our facility, position, you know, like this. Like I find many times, I'm sitting in the group only. We have copper pots, right? So someone who's into cooking knows that copper is the best medium. So I mentioned to people, yes, we have a kitchen, cooking powder, and this, and we have these copper pots. And, oh, yeah, nice. I'm thinking, why they don't appreciate the pots and solid copper? You know? Because I'm thinking this is something great. We've done this. You know, this is something that, you know, they don't know it. They don't know copper is good for cooking, so they don't care. Like that. So you want to share a point of position or authority, of position, facility, with others who will then that reciprocation, that rasa will be there. So he knows that by doing this, it will be destroyed. He is going to perform this activity. He's going to do his duty, and he's going to end up killing all his friends and relatives. And at the end, he's just going to be sitting there with no one to appreciate all these things. But that doesn't matter, right? And then after they've gotten it, they've been waiting for this for so many years, long, long time. Soon after that, establishes the on the throne. Then Krishna is going to leave, and they're going to take Vanaprastha. So they went through all this, but they're not attached. Hey, we worked so hard, you know, we went in the forest so many years, and before that so many years of disturbance by Duryodhana. And now finally, after this whole war and all this lifetime of problem, now we have gotten where we're supposed to have been from our birth. And then right after that, then okay, time to go. They know that the result may not be materially pleasing. So Ritrasura is trying to establish this point. He is Indra, is supposed to fight. The result is up to the Lord. We have to have faith in the Lord. Ritrasura has faith in the Lord that the Lord's plan will be there. And it's his duty as a demon to be the enemy of Indra. So he must do his best. So he tries so many ways. Right? He swallows the weapons of the demigods. He throws his trident like this. He comes up and hits Indra with his club. Like this, so many more tricks will happen in this fight. But ultimately, the Indra will win. At least seemingly. Materially he'll win. Spiritually he loses, but materially he wins. So this point is... this point is being made that... Yeah, so he is very wondering how this is possible. That this demon who is speaking philosophy that's from the platform of realization, not from some other platform, realization. How is it that this demon is speaking all these things? So he's thinking this in his mind. He's very much impressed by it. He's praised him. He made an attack. Indra countered this attack, he made a recounter of that attack, and Indra praises him for what he's done. And it's only mentioned that. But the detail is then how Indra is very amazed at how this person has come to the platform of such an elevated devotee. Any questions or comments? So, you could hear? We need to be able to see the broader picture. It's just like what's happening here is Indra sees just what's before him. He sees what's happening in this life. So he can't work out how this has happened, how this demon has become such a great devotee. Because as a devotee, he knows you have to get the mercy of a devotee. So it's not just on his own. I mean, he's a bona fide devotee, and he's not just accepting that someone just on their own will be a devotee. Like that. He knows that there must be a cause. Like this. So this will then be explained later. You know, how Chitraketu then got the mercy of Narad Muni. We see Chitraketu, Vritrasura always mentions... such as Narad Muni, because Narad Muni is a spiritual master, like that. But that's not being revealed at this point. It's not necessary for the battle, right? Otherwise, you get too much. Then, as it is, Indra doesn't have faith in the weapon. then he gets faith in it when he uses it basically just out of, how do you say it? Self-defense. Right? Is that what you're going to say? Desperation. Yeah, desperation, like that, he uses it. Then he has faith in the weapon, but then he finds out that this person is a devotee. So now, as a devotee, he doesn't want to kill the devotee. But he doesn't know, but he can't quite work it out because he doesn't see how he's a bona fide devotee. So it's a bit bewildering. Therefore, he says this word, Mahat Ascharjam, that it's a great wonder, like that. And if he knows that here is a bona fide initiated disciple of Narad Muni and the great, who has a great pure devotee and all these different things, and just due to some pastime that he got put into this body, there's no question he would be able to kill him. He would just be completely bewildered. As it is, he knows he's a devotee, but he can't quite work it out. But if he fully knows, so therefore, I say, like Narad Muni, like this, that, so it leaves that, you know. Plus, he's not overly interested. He's amazed. But in the long run, he just wants to be peacefully sit on his throne. He's not really worried about these fine devotional activities at this point. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj is, so he'll ask, how is it possible? And, so all these things go back into previous life. Means the person in the school who is killing others, those who are getting killed, all those who suffer because of that. If we go back in the lives, we will see that they have done something that deserves that. If we see something this life, okay, now let's say we take that person goes and kills so many children in the school. Now, if that person is sentenced to death and killed themselves, most people will think this is not unfair. Some will think it's very good, some will think it's not unfair. And even if they don't like capital punishment, at least they can understand it being given because they have done something, but they would prefer that, you know, you just, you know, stick them away somewhere like that. You know. So that, because we see the whole cause and effect. So we see they've done this, they deserve this. But many times karma will spread over lifetimes. You do something, and sometimes for many lifetimes that reaction will come. You know, one lifetime, seven lifetimes, 100 lifetimes. Like, you kill a cow, for every hair on the cow's body, you'll be killed. So cows are pretty hairy. You know, like that. They're quite big. You know, so that's a lot of bursts for one activity. So then, it would be hard to trace the root. So in the same way is that if we saw the whole thing, then we would see that maybe those persons that were killed, they were a gang that came in and killed these two people. Right? And now, due to karma, they're getting the opportunity to kill them back. You know? So many, like this, there's so many, that's just to, you know, give an idea. So it's actually what they wanted. And Krishna's just fulfilling the desire. Modes of nature move in that way. Somebody became attached to that, they wanted to do it. So the independence is, do you want to become attached to this and move with it? Or do you want to not be attached to it? So if you move with it, then the reactions are yours. You don't, then you'll go through it, but you'll use that situation in the Lord's service. You won't do. Maybe according to the thing, they've killed you in your last life, now it's your turn to kill them. If you take it, you have that independence, you can take it. Then you'll take the opportunity to kill them. Then next life they'll kill you. It just goes back and forth. Now you're in that situation, but now you surrender to the Lord. Even though that situation is there, you don't take it. You just, in that situation, you be Krishna conscious. Even though they harass you, bother you, you know, call you all kinds of names, neglect you, you know, they're very proud of their positions and facilities and beauty, but you don't care. So what? You know, okay, we sit at the side, we remember the Lord. It's better, right? Lord Shiva takes that position. He puts on ashes, hangs out with the ghosts, sits at the crematoriums, because none of these very beautiful demigods who are so attracted with their body are going to fly in their airplanes over to the crematorium and hang out with Indra, who's covered with ashes and all these ghosts and all that. They're not going to come. So that means his bhajan is undisturbed. So he stays far away. He makes it look like, you know, no one wants to, you know. He sits there on the corner in his trench coat and Everybody thinks he's weird. And he's happy because now he can chant his japa very peacefully, take his prasadam, no one's going to ask him, what's that? You know, like that, you know. Everyone thinks he's weird, he's got this mud on his forehead, you know, just like that. You know, so it's, they don't bother him. So you have that independence to take it or not. If you take it, it's already got a course that it will go through. You know, like you, a train is going by, you get on it, it will go to its destination. But you have the how do you say it? The independence to get on it or get off it. Of course, there's ideal times to get on and get off. Generally when it comes to a station. Right? And then you can get on another train. You know, so sometimes it's like, you know, before you jump, you have an idea to, you can do something. While you're in the air, there's not a whole lot you can do. You know? So that's like between the stations, you know, it's like you can't get off at that time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. About this point of Krishna controlling everything, you say that the monk's devotees, when the devotee has some success in his whatever the activity is, teaching or whatever it is, then the devotees say, well, it's Krishna's mercy and his mercy is all manifest. When a devotee is not so successful, makes a mistake and then some problem, then suddenly it's all his fault and he's the guru, he's the controller, and there's no Krishna to control at all. How changes like this?
Yes. This goes along because we're not actually seeing Krishna's. It's still, it's that point in before. Is the science, means karma is the science of the material world. It's material knowledge. Like that. So unless you connect it to Krishna, it actually is not Krishna conscious. It's Vedic. It's elevated. It's the highest material knowledge. It means someone who's in ignorance won't understand this. Or they follow non-Vedic, they won't understand this. So then, that position of following the Vedic culture is higher because you actually know the workings of the material world. Because the Lord has made the material world, and we know how it works according to the Lord's rule. So that position is higher, infinitely higher than someone who doesn't have any idea how it works. But that still is not good enough. Because the smartest, they know this. They know how to meditate. You ask them, they can quote all kinds of shastras, tell you all kinds of things. But they can't connect it to the Lord. So that connection, that's the importance. So when we see the connection, we see both good and bad. Now, what it is that by their previous activities, means two things are there. By previous activities, then they get in a position where they have all kinds of facility to do things. Or they're in a position where they don't have it. But it doesn't matter because Krishna consciousness doesn't depend upon the external facilities. So someone may have a lot of facility or have no facility, they can still be Krishna conscious. And sometimes the danger when you have facility, you'll forget Krishna, like the demigods. You have the facility, you forget. Well, when you don't have, then you may be, you surrender. Because when someone doesn't have, then in that anxiety or distress, you surrender to the Lord. So it can work positively. Or if there's a little more purity, you may be able to use it. Or, you know, you don't have it. So that aspect is there. Then that is previous piety and impiety. Then you have the devotional piety and impiety. That you perform devotional service, Lakshmi gives so much facility. Or one is neglectful in devotional service and she doesn't give the facility. So then in both these we see that there is some good and bad, that either due to previous material pious and impious, that reaction, or devotional pious and impious, meaning pious meaning Krishna conscious, impious meaning not Krishna conscious. So the reaction doesn't come so well. So in some state there is that point, because in the proper thing, the person will say that it's like this. If the devotee commenting on another devotee when they do something great and wonderful, then they say, oh, it's all by the Lord's mercy. And when they do something wrong, they say, well, it's their fault. this is not a proper understanding. If when they say they do something great, they go, this devotee, because of his good devotional service and because of his you know, piety, therefore so many nice things are going very well for him. You see his activity and the hand of the Lord in it, then you'll see that then that person can say, hey, this, you're not being Krishna conscious enough, or in your previous life you've done something really bad, so therefore all these things are happening to you. That person, if you hear from, you don't mind. But if the person that says, oh, it's all the Lord's mercy and gives no credit to the devotee when he does something right, you know, don't become proud, Prabhu, you know, it's all the Lord's mercy. And then when you do something wrong, then it's all your fault. This is just, this is not Krishna conscious either. Because if they say it's not all yours there, then when you do something wrong, then they'll say, don't get disturbed. It's also not your, you know, you have to be Krishna conscious. These things happen to you because of previous activities, like Vritrasura is telling Indra. The weapon fell from your hand, you're disgraced, but don't worry. This victory and defeat are not ours. It's coming from the Lord. You were victorious, you cut off my arm. You got defeated, you dropped your weapon. But this is all happening. It's by the Lord. So then that way you can accept that also. So it must be consistent. There must be the ones that you must be able to connect it to the Lord. Because the Lord is the substance, the Lord is the weight. So whatever you have, it must be based on the weight. Right? The weight must be on the lower side. Okay? So the weight must be what is giving the substance to everything else. Okay? So then that way, then you see everything, then it's consistent. So no one will mind either one. Either someone is very, you know, like more confidential or more straightforward in telling you in this way what you've done wrong, but when you do right, then you're getting the credit. Or that, don't worry about it, it's in the Lord's hands. And depending, a preacher will use this depending upon the nature of the person. If they're more proud, then they may use the one, it's the Lord doing it. And if they're distressed, then they'll say, well, the Lord is doing it, don't worry. You know, Krishna's there, he's taking care. There's something to learn here. He'll pass. Like that. So depending upon the situation, you may choose one or the other side to take. You know, someone's very proud, and then the Lord's doing this, you know. It means you've worked, you've done it, but are you doing this for the Lord or for yourself? If you are for yourself, okay, then you get the credit, but no devotional service. It's very minimal. But we are doing it for Krishna, therefore it's very wonderful. So Krishna has wonderfully done this, and if we understand that, we are taking part in it, and Krishna gives us the credit. So depending upon the position, one will take one or the other. But one always finds that if someone does something and that is cut, and then does something does wrong, and then one is blamed, then that's not a good balance. It's not a good balance. Unless the person is very, very proud. But then you will accept it because you know the person on other occasions deals very proper Krishna conscious. So you have that faith that in this situation, they're saying this because it's going to bring out the Krishna consciousness. But they have to connect it to Krishna. If they don't connect it to Krishna, just leave it with you. Or it's Krishna and there's no connection to us. It means the philosophy and the activity must be connected. The philosophy and the dharma, the devotional activity, must be connected. If it's not connected, we don't bring Krishna into it as dharma, but it's not sub-dharma. And if we see the philosophy, we don't correct the activity, it's also not devotional activity, it's just philosophy. Like, okay, Krishna's done it, but we have agreed to take part in this. So we point that out first. Krishna's done this, remember that. Then the devotee, oh yeah, becomes humble. But because you have taken part, you have chosen this, therefore you're glorious. But always remember that it's the Lord. Because if we don't remember, then we may get the opposite. Then he won't give us a good result. Yeah. And even if he doesn't, that's his pastime. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's just, we try our best. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, if we endeavor to do something and it's not a very good result, then we understand that, well, either Krishna doesn't really want this,
yeah,
or Krishna wants us to struggle some more, yeah, or that we should understand that Krishna is still supervising the activities.
Krishna's there. Because many times Krishna doesn't want to give facility to the devotee because then it may take them off in devotional service until one has become very fixed, where one does not care if the facility is there. Then it will be a problem. You know? So, but for Prabhupada mentions in previous purports, for preaching he may give facility, but the devotee is not attached to it. It's there for the preaching, and if it goes away, then it's not there. If he becomes very disturbed, that means he's not attached to it. But if not, then, you know. In other words, everybody has this side of the philosophy they should be quoting. Okay? It means you have these two sides. We've done, Krishna's doing. So you're supposed to use the right one. The person who's done it said, he doesn't say, yes, I was pious and I chose to do the right thing. I went out in a sangita and I was so determined and therefore, you know, I sold 100 books and, you know, yes. Like that. No, he says, by the Lord's grace, by the grace of the devotees, I'm nothing. The Lord is, I'm just an instrument. The other devotees say, no, because you have serving, therefore it is glorious. Like that. So, now if you switch it, there's no culture there. So you have philosophy, but no culture. So the two are supposed to go together. Because the philosophy is manifest in culture. Because in the spiritual world, they don't really bother with the philosophy. They just absorb themselves in the culture and do that for Krishna. Like that. But if you ask them, they know the philosophy, you know, frontwards and backwards. And like that. So the culmination of the whole philosophy of culture, that complete, I would say, amalgamation of the two, in just that you serve Krishna with your heart and soul, that they do. But they can talk on one or the other, you know, very technically. You know, they can take the philosophy down to, you know, technical points. They can take the process down to technical points. You know, that's the thing. They have no problem. So it's, we have to be very careful that we take the side. That's what culture is for. We know, therefore, in a relation, who we are, and in a relationship with someone else, we know who someone else is, and we know what their relationship is. So what it is we should be saying, and how we should deal with the other. So that's why the culture is there, you know, is to establish that. And then, but still it's useless unless the philosophy is there. Anything else? To make?
If the motives of nature are very strong, so it's very difficult to control.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's there. Could you hear Mataji saying that what we hear, you know, sounds good, but the problem is it's very hard to apply, you know? So that's the whole point is said over and over again. I mean, Vritrasura has made this point so many times, and this point of how is it he's become a devotee or becoming servant to servant has been made many times. Basically, these two points is all that's being made to this whole story, chapter after chapter. So we're just hearing it from different angles. So depending upon the situation, if we can catch it from any one angle, then you can catch the rest of them. Right? But you have to catch one of them. That's the whole thing, is that due to our conditioning, we may not understand it in one way. So it's explained again and again and again. Like practically every lecture, Prabhupada will mention we're not our body. But from different angles, he'll mention it. So one day, we get it that, okay, I caught this one. And then that lets us understand the next one, the next one, the next one. So that's the whole point, is that you have the philosophy. It's very simple. But it's very vast, because the philosophy has been attached and connected to each and every aspect of the material nature. Everything. Nothing has been left out. Therefore, you have to have so many scriptures to attach a simple philosophy of always remember Krishna, never forget him, to each and every aspect. So therefore, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of verses to explain this point. You know, this point from the body, from the creation, from the mind, the intelligence, from the ego, from the senses. You know, from the creation to the destruction to Ayurveda, Sanskrit, this, that, everything. Whatever is there. So we have a conditioned nature. We like a particular element of the material nature. So therefore, if we can catch that the philosophy connected with that, and we understand Krishna is connected with everything, we'll be able to connect it in all the spheres of our conditioning, at least. You know, and then if we can, we can go beyond that. As we become more and more detached from that, we can see more others' conditioned nature. We can talk on that also. But at least we should be able to identify our conditioned nature and all its connection with the philosophy. Like that. So therefore it's said again and again and again. So we shouldn't worry. That's why sadhana bhakti means we hear it again, we practice again. You know, other devotees, we hear from them, we see their example, or that reminds us, then we try again. And in this way, we just keep going, and slowly, slowly it happens. So we shouldn't worry. This is the modes of nature. They're so powerful, they're going to do what they're supposed to do. Our business is to slowly, slowly detach ourselves from it, but we become an observer. Right? Means the bird, one bird in the tree is just observing, not attached. The other bird is attached. Now that second bird, the soul, becomes an observer also. Then the two birds have similar nature. Then those two birds can leave the tree. But as long as the one's attached, then the other one just sits there and waits. Like that. So we have to come to the point where we're seeing the activities of the body, the mind, the intelligence, the senses. It's just going on. It's just a show. Therefore, the devotee doesn't need any external entertainment. You know, plenty is going on there with the body and mind. You know, it's just, there's plenty happening. You know? So they can just, everything they do, everything they hear, touch, taste, smell, they see it all in connection with the Lord. So therefore, then they are satisfied. They're self-satisfied. They don't need anything external. Like that. So that's here. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Veha Bhakti Brinda ki, Jaina Tagore ki. Touch, taste, smell, they see it all in connection with the Lord. So therefore, then they are satisfied. They're self-satisfied. They don't need anything external. Like that. So that's here. Rantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Veha Bhakti Brinda ki, Jaina Tagore ki.